Now open your question paper and look at part one. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear each recording twice. 1.
How's it going today, Samantha?
Actually, I think I'm sick. Something's been going round at work.
I see. How are you feeling?
I have a headache and a fever, and my stomach has been cramping.
It sounds like you have a virus. Is anyone else in your family sick?
No, not yet. And I don't want them to get sick either.
Of course not. Make sure that you wash your hands often.
Oh, of course.
And if you're not using antimicrobial soap, it'd be worth switching.
I'll pick some up on the way home. It's still okay for me to cook for my family, right?
Well, be careful. Definitely use a good disinfectant before and after you're in the kitchen.
I don't have any of that. I guess I need to pick some of that up too.
Now listen again.
How's it going today, Samantha?
Actually, I think I'm sick. Something's been going round at work.
I see. How are you feeling?
I have a headache and a fever, and my stomach has been cramping.
It sounds like you have a virus. Is anyone else in your family sick?
No, not yet. And I don't want them to get sick either.
Of course not. Make sure that you wash your hands often.
Oh, of course.
And if you're not using antimicrobial soap, it'd be worth switching.
I'll pick some up on the way home. It's still okay for me to cook for my family, right?
Well, be careful. Definitely use a good disinfectant before and after you're in the kitchen.
I don't have any of that. I guess I need to pick some of that up too.
Two.
Dr. McNeil, could you come over here for a second?
Sure, Carol. What do you need?
I just took Ms. Grayson's blood pressure. It's 150 over 92.
That's a bit too high.
Yes, I thought so too.
Who's her cardiologist?
Her chart says it's Dr. Sarton.
He'll want to know about this.
I'll let his office know to set up an appointment.
Good idea.
Now listen again.
Dr. McNeil, could you come over here for a second?
Sure, Carol. What do you need?
I just took Ms. Grayson's blood pressure. It's 150 over 92.
That's a bit too high.
Yes, I thought so too.
Who's her cardiologist?
Her chart says it's Dr. Sarton.
He'll want to know about this.
I'll let his office know to set up an appointment.
Good idea.
3.
Thompson Pediatrics, Nurse Jackson speaking.
Hi, this is James Roberts. My son Alan is a new patient at your practice.
Is something wrong, Mr. Roberts?
Well, I think Alan might have jaundice. His skin looks yellowish.
And how old is he?
He was just born a week ago.
Well, don't worry. Many newborns get jaundice, and most cases are mild. Tell me, is his abdomen yellow?
It's hard to tell.
Now listen again.
Thompson Pediatrics, Nurse Jackson speaking.
Hi, this is James Roberts. My son Alan is a new patient at your practice.
Is something wrong, Mr. Roberts?
Well, I think Alan might have jaundice. His skin looks yellowish.
And how old is he?
He was just born a week ago.
Well, don't worry. Many newborns get jaundice, and most cases are mild. Tell me, is his abdomen yellow?
It's hard to tell.
Four.
Good afternoon, Fred. I have your test results back.
What do they say?
Well, we're detecting an arrhythmia.
Oh, what exactly does that mean?
It means that your heart valves aren't pumping blood through the atria properly.
Is there any treatment for this?
Yes. We're going to start you on medication and see how it goes. Luckily, this form of arrhythmia isn't too serious.
Well, that's comforting to hear.
Now listen again.
Good afternoon, Fred. I have your test results back.
What do they say?
Well, we're detecting an arrhythmia.
Oh, what exactly does that mean?
It means that your heart valves aren't pumping blood through the atria properly.
Is there any treatment for this?
Yes. We're going to start you on medication and see how it goes. Luckily, this form of arrhythmia isn't too serious.
Well, that's comforting to hear.
Five.
Let's talk about the circulatory system. Tell me about a type of blood vessel.
Capillaries are one type. They transport nutrients into various tissues.
Good. Now, how does the blood reach the capillaries?
It starts in the heart. From there, it travels through a vein.
You're half right. The blood does come from the heart. But think again about the type of blood vessel.
Oh, right. The blood travels through an artery, not a vein.
Exactly.
Now listen again.
Let's talk about the circulatory system. Tell me about a type of blood vessel.
Capillaries are one type. They transport nutrients into various tissues.
Good. Now, how does the blood reach the capillaries?
It starts in the heart. From there, it travels through a vein.
You're half right. The blood does come from the heart. But think again about the type of blood vessel.
Oh, right. The blood travels through an artery, not a vein.
Exactly.
Six.
The Flagton Gazette, 27th May. Major collapse at construction site. On Wednesday, a structure collapsed at the 10th Street building project. Two people were inside. One worker was on the ground floor during the collapse. Falling debris caused abrasions to his head and shoulders. Paramedics treated lacerations to his face and neck. Also, a heavy object fell on his arm. This strained his elbow and broke his wrist. However, his hand and fingers were unharmed.
Now listen again.
The Flagton Gazette, 27th May. Major collapse at construction site. On Wednesday, a structure collapsed at the 10th Street building project. Two people were inside. One worker was on the ground floor during the collapse. Falling debris caused abrasions to his head and shoulders. Paramedics treated lacerations to his face and neck. Also, a heavy object fell on his arm. This strained his elbow and broke his wrist. However, his hand and fingers were unharmed.
7.
My team is bringing in a couple of patients from the factory fire.
Okay. What are we treating them for?
The man has severe thermal burns. He doesn't have any sensation in his lower legs.
Sounds like he has third-degree burns. I'll notify the burn unit. You said there's another patient, too?
Yes, she's in pretty bad shape. The ceiling collapsed on her.
Does she have severe burns as well?
No, she wasn't exposed to the fire, but a heavy desk crushed her arm.
We'll need to immobilize that right away.
And that's not all. A piece of glass shattered right above her.
Ah, so she has lacerations, too.
9.
My team is bringing in a couple of patients from the factory fire.
Okay. What are we treating them for?
The man has severe thermal burns. He doesn't have any sensation in his lower legs.
Sounds like he has third-degree burns. I'll notify the burn unit. You said there's another patient, too?
Yes, she's in pretty bad shape. The ceiling collapsed on her.
Does she have severe burns as well?
No, she wasn't exposed to the fire, but a heavy desk crushed her arm.
We'll need to immobilize that right away.
And that's not all. A piece of glass shattered right above her.
Ah, so she has lacerations too.
8.
What do we have?
The patient is a 52-year-old female. She lost a lot of blood.
How is her respiration rate?
It fluctuated a lot at first, but she seems better now.
That's good. What about her pulse?
That gave us some trouble too. Her heart rate plummeted during transport, so we performed CPR.
Here.
Now listen again.
What do we have?
The patient is a 52-year-old female. She lost a lot of blood.
How is her respiration rate?
It fluctuated a lot at first, but she seems better now.
That's good.
What about her pulse?
That gave us some trouble, too. Her heart rate plummeted during transport, so we performed CPR.
Here.
9.
All right, Carol. I have your x-rays here.
How do they look?
I'm afraid your lower back doesn't look too good. You'll need to take some time away from work.
Really? The strain doesn't feel that serious.
I understand, but you can't lift patients or equipment in this condition. In fact, I think lifting may be the cause of this problem.
I see. Yeah, sometimes I forget to use the right lifting technique. I'll be more careful about that.
Good.
Now listen again.
All right, Carol. I have your x-rays here.
How do they look?
I'm afraid your lower back doesn't look too good. You'll need to take some time away from work.
Really? The strain doesn't feel that serious.
I understand, but you can't lift patients or equipment in this condition. In fact, I think lifting may be the cause of this problem.
I see. Yeah, sometimes I forget to use the right lifting technique. I'll be more careful about that.
Good.
10.
Come in, Tom. Let's talk about your patient yesterday.
The one who went into cardiac arrest? That was really weird.
Well, I just got the toxicology report from the hospital. The patient had both Panacil and Cetaphir in her blood.
Really? I administered the Panacil, but I had no idea that the patient was taking Cetaphir.
I'm sure you didn't. Did you take a full patient history?
Yes.
Now listen again.
Come in, Tom. Let's talk about your patient yesterday.
The one who went into cardiac arrest? That was really weird.
Well, I just got the toxicology report from the hospital. The patient had both Panacil and Cetaphir in her blood.
Really? I administered the Panacil, but I had no idea that the patient was taking Cetaphir.
I'm sure you didn't. Did you take a full patient history?
Yes.
That is the end of part one.
Now turn to part two. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
Today I'm going to be talking to one of the most successful young actresses in Hollywood, Kay Stanley, about a special aspect of her work, one that's not very well known on this side of the Atlantic, and that's the Stanley Trust. Kay, welcome to the programme. Would you start by explaining what the Stanley Trust is?
Sure. It's basically an organisation set up by my father to help kids who have problems reading and writing, kids with dyslexia. I'm dyslexic myself, you see, and after I'd been diagnosed, my dad realised there weren't many organisations for dyslexic kids, and he decided to set one up himself a few years later.
I believe one of the problems with dyslexia is that it isn't diagnosed in many cases, or not early enough. Was this what happened with you?
I used to learn stories off by heart by playing the tapes of them over and over again, and then pretend to read them. In fact, I was so good at it that my mum only guessed there was something wrong when she caught me learning the stories like that. Then my parents got me examined by a doctor, and luckily, he knew something about dyslexia, so he sent me to an expert. He said I'm pretty fortunate because my condition is less severe compared to other people with dyslexia.
You mention an expert on dyslexia. You must know quite a lot about it yourself by now.
I do, yes. But one of the problems with dyslexia is that even the specialists don't really understand it. They know dyslexics think in a different way from other people. Dyslexics are of above average intelligence. They have distinctive talents and a creative imagination. But whether dyslexia has other effects on the brain or not, nobody really knows. Some people say you use a different sort of logic if you're dyslexic, and it's easier for you to solve problems, but it's hard to test that.
And once you were diagnosed, did you start to improve?
Not immediately. At first, I was too unhappy about the whole thing, and my parents felt frustrated and confused. I knew at an early age that I wanted to become an actress, and getting school qualifications was not a priority for me. In the end, I did work hard to improve my reading skills, just to show my fellow students that I was every bit as clever as they were.
Is it better for children with dyslexia to get special treatment?
It depends what you mean by that. I don't think it's a good idea to isolate them and put them in special schools, because that makes them feel awkward. On the other hand, they do need extra teaching in reading and writing, by teachers who understand the problem.
And getting back to the Stanley Trust, how do you feel you can best help the Trust? Will you be giving speeches about dyslexia in public?
I doubt it. I think the public would get tired of someone like me talking about the subject all the time. It seems to me the best thing I can do is set a good example of how dyslexics can live a normal, happy life.
Well, I wish you luck with that, and thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Now listen again.
Today I'm going to be talking to one of the most successful young actresses in Hollywood, Kay Stanley, about a special aspect of her work, one that's not very well known on this side of the Atlantic, and that's the Stanley Trust. Kay, welcome to the programme. Would you start by explaining what the Stanley Trust is?
Sure. It's basically an organisation set up by my father to help kids who have problems reading and writing, kids with dyslexia. I'm dyslexic myself, you see, and after I'd been diagnosed, my dad realised there weren't many organisations for dyslexic kids, and he decided to set one up himself a few years later.
I believe one of the problems with dyslexia is that it isn't diagnosed in many cases. Or not early enough. Was this what happened with you?
I used to learn stories off by heart by playing the tapes of them over and over again, and then pretend to read them. In fact, I was so good at it that my mum only guessed there was something wrong when she caught me learning the stories like that. Then my parents got me examined by a doctor, and luckily, he knew something about dyslexia, so he sent me to an expert. He said I'm pretty fortunate because my condition is less severe compared to other people with dyslexia.
You mention an expert on dyslexia. You must know quite a lot about it yourself by now.
I do, yes. But one of the problems with dyslexia is that even the specialists don't really understand it. They know dyslexics think in a different way from other people. Dyslexics are of above average intelligence. They have distinctive talents and a creative imagination. But whether dyslexia has other effects on the brain or not, nobody really knows. Some people say you use a different sort of logic if you're dyslexic, and it's easier for you to solve problems, but it's hard to test that.
And once you were diagnosed, did you start to improve?
Not immediately. At first, I was too unhappy about the whole thing, and my parents felt frustrated and confused. I knew at an early age that I wanted to become an actress, and getting school qualifications was not a priority for me. In the end, I did work hard to improve my reading skills, just to show my fellow students that I was every bit as clever as they were.
Is it better for children with dyslexia to get special treatment?
It depends what you mean by that. I don't think it's a good idea to isolate them and put them in special schools, because that makes them feel awkward. On the other hand, they do need extra teaching in reading and writing, by teachers who understand the problem.
And getting back to the Stanley Trust, how do you feel you can best help the Trust? Will you be giving speeches about dyslexia in public?
I doubt it. I think the public would get tired of someone like me talking about the subject all the time. It seems to me the best thing I can do is set a good example of how dyslexics can live a normal, happy life.
Well, I wish you luck with that, and thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you.
That is the end of part 2.